The Chernobyl disaster. Nuclear power is one of the most impressive and powerful tools that we as a species have created, and when handled correctly, is a clean, safe, and renewable energy source. When handled incorrectly, however, you get the Chernobyl disaster. The worst nuclear disaster in history, the Chernobyl incident was a costly lesson in nuclear safety and a painful setback for nuclear power in general. The Chernobyl nuclear power plant was commissioned in 1977, and although it was named after the nearby town of Chernobyl, another town named Pripyat was set up only a few kilometers away to house the workers and their families. Four nuclear reactors were built in the power plant, using a design optimized for speed of production over safety. In 1982, the first reactor suffered a partial core meltdown, but the damage was minor, and the reactor was repaired and put back into operation. The fifth and sixth reactors were under construction, but were eventually canceled after the major incident. Without going into detail on how nuclear reactors operate, the important thing to understand in relation to the disaster are the fail-safes for when something goes wrong. Following an emergency shutdown of a nuclear reactor, the core of the reactor needs to be rapidly cooled in order to prevent overheating and nuclear meltdown. Reactors at Chernobyl used water to do this, but as the cooling pumps required electricity in order to run, in case of a power failure, they needed to rely on backup generators. The problem arose because the backup generators required 60 to 75 seconds in order to attain speed to power the cooling pumps. In that time frame, a reactor could rise thousands of degrees in temperature and very likely cause a catastrophic meltdown. To solve this issue at Chernobyl, the engineers believed they could use energy from the winding down steam turbine to power the cooling pumps for 45 seconds. They tested this theory three times, in 1982, 1984, and 1985. By the fourth test, in 1986, they had been operating without a proper failsafe for 9 years. On April 25, 1986, the number 4 reactor at Chernobyl was planned to be shut down for routine maintenance, and the crew decided it was an opportune time to run another test on the turbine failsafe. Setting up the cooling pumps with power from the station after the completion of the test was carried out without proper communication between the team running the test and the team in charge of reactor safety. Thus, improper safety precautions were put into the test program without alerting the safety operators. Part of this was shutting down the emergency core cooling system, intended to provide water in case of a loss of coolant accident. In the end, this didn't make much difference, but it demonstrates a lax attitude in regard to protocol and safety. The test plan called for a gradual decrease in power output in Reactor 4 to a stable level of about 700 megawatts. Due to a combination of factors, partly due to the control rod operator inserting the control rods too far into the reactor, the output dropped to 30 megawatts, 5% of the minimum power level established as safe for the test. In order to raise the power output of the reactor, operators disabled the automatic system controlling the control rods, and manually removed many of them from the reactor. Output began to increase up to 200 megawatts, but emergency systems began to go off due to low power level, unstable core temperature and coolant flow, and other instabilities. These alarms were ignored, apparently to preserve the power level of the reactor. With an output of 200 megawatts, the operators decided to continue with the test, and additional water pumps were activated as part of the test plan. Due to various factors, such as only having 18 of the minimal 28 control rods manually inserted into the reactor, the system was in an extremely unstable state, and many emergency systems had to be shut off in order to maintain the power level. Finally, the test began, and the steam to the turbines was shut off so that the turbines could wind down and power the coolant pumps. As the turbines began to slow, so did the power to the coolant pumps, causing less water flow to enter the reactor. Due to the nature of the design of this reactor, this caused an increase in steam inside of the reactor, which led to a power increase. The automatic system is intended to counteract this process, but because of manual operations, the system only had access to 12 of the 211 total control rods. Shortly after, an emergency shutdown of the reactor was initiated. The reason for this is unclear to us, whether it was manually pressed due to rising temperatures, or because of some automatic system still in place. The emergency shutdown of the reactor overrode the disabling of the control rod system, and began inserting control rods into the reactor, even the manually removed ones. Due to the odd design of the control rods in this reactor system, the emergency shutdown actually increased the power output of the reactor, causing a power surge. The power surge caused the reactor to overheat, fracturing some of the fuel rods and blocking the operation of the control rods. Within 3 seconds, the power output had jumped to over 530 megawatts, and a rapid buildup in steam pressure released the fuel elements into the coolant. The reactor suddenly jumped to over 30,000 megawatts, 10 times the normal operational output. A following steam explosion caused the 2,000-ton upper plate of the reactor assembly to blast through the roof of the building, causing extensive damage to the reactor. The thermal power of the reactor continued to rise, although the last reading on the control panel was 33,000 megawatts. A second explosion closely followed the first, exposing the graphite from the control rods to air, igniting them on fire. This would end up greatly expanding the coverage of radioactive fallout in the surrounding areas. One worker was killed immediately by the explosions, his body never being located, and a second worker died in a hospital a few days later. 29 firemen and employees would later die from acute radiation poisoning, achieving fatal doses in some areas in less than a minute. The first firemen on scene were not told that it was a reactor explosion, thinking that it was an electrical fire. The nearby town of Pripyat, housing nearly 50,000 people, was not immediately evacuated. Within a few hours of the explosion, dozens of people began to report severe headaches, coughing, vomiting, and metallic tastes in their mouths. Again, due to a lack of communication and information, the government finally issued an evacuation of Pripyat over 24 hours after the explosion. Residents were told to bring only what was necessary, and that the evacuation would only last 3 days. Within an hour, Pripyat became a ghost town. The next day, the evacuation zone expanded to a 10-kilometer range, and 10 days later, to 30 kilometers. This exclusion zone has remained ever since, and has expanded to 50 kilometers. On the 28th of April, radiation alarms went off at a nuclear plant in Sweden, over 1,000 kilometers away, which caused the Soviet Union to finally announce the disaster to the public, although they said very little about it. The smoldering material from the reactor began to burn through the reactor floor, mixing with molten concrete. If the mixture continued to burn through the floor and contacted the underground reservoir of water, officials feared it would cause a massive steam explosion that would eject more radioactive material into the air. 3 volunteers successfully entered the knee-deep radioactive water and managed to open the valves to drain the water. 20,000 metric tons of radioactive water were drained, but another concern arose from the mixture reaching the water table below the reactor. To combat this, the idea was to inject liquid nitrogen into the earth to freeze it, but the idea was soon scrapped. They decided to fill the area with concrete instead. In the week following the accident, 5,000 tons of material were dropped by helicopters onto the reactor. And to prevent rain from entering the reactor and causing another explosion, engineers developed a large concrete sarcophagus to envelop the destroyed reactor. This process, the largest civil engineering project in history, involved 250,000 construction workers, who all reached their lifetime limits of radiation. Other cleanup efforts began in and around the power plant, far before it was safe, but some believe the administration wanted to quell panic regarding nuclear energy. The 3 remaining reactors continued to operate due to an energy shortage in the country. Overall, the Chernobyl disaster cost the Soviet Union the equivalent of $18 billion at the time, and it's estimated that between 5 and 7% of government spending in Ukraine per year is still related to Chernobyl. The overall radioactive effects of the incident are still being studied to this day, with mutations in local plant life, animal life, and human life being found. Animals were found in the first few years with gross deformities, including missing or extra limbs, missing eyes, heads, or ribs, or deformed skulls. Much of the radioactive contamination was deposited over the Alps, the Welsh Mountains, and the Scottish Highlands. It's unlikely we'll ever know the true extent of damage caused by the contamination, although there is little evidence to link the contamination overall to increased mortality, cancers, or birth defects. There was, however, an increase in the amount of thyroid cancer cases among children in nearby areas. Today, the town of Pripyat and the areas around the power plant are hotspots for tourism. Guided tours on both foot and by air draw in thousands of interested tourists per year, and likely many more explore without guides. The town of Pripyat is much the same as it was when it was evacuated in 1986, but looters have taken anything of value and left graffiti behind. A new containment system is currently in the process of being fitted over the old reactor, and they hope to dismantle the destroyed reactor over the course of this century. The Chernobyl disaster and Pripyat have been featured in a number of books, films, and video games. Notable are the Stalker series of video games, as well as two prominent levels in Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. While there have been other nuclear disasters in history, such as the Three Mile Island incident, the Fukushima disaster, and the Mayak disaster, hopefully none will ever surpass the ineptitude and misfortune of the Chernobyl disaster.